China's CRRC lands big Brazil loan. Brazil's Development Bank just handed China Railway Rolling Stock Corporation over $1 billion to finance rolling stock, and institutional capital should read this as more than a rail deal. It's a data point in the reconfiguration of Latin American infrastructure finance, where development bank liquidity is increasingly directed toward Asian manufacturers while Western equipment providers watch from the sidelines. It's committed the equivalent of $1.1 billion to CRRC as part of a broader rail financing package, underscoring both Brazil's infrastructure funding gap and Beijing's systematic penetration of South American capital-intensive sectors. The transaction, disclosed in March 2026, positions CRRC, already the world's largest rolling stock manufacturer by revenue, as a primary beneficiary of Brazilian state capital at a moment when Latin America governments are prioritizing infrastructure modernization but lack the fiscal headroom to self-finance. For allocators tracking emerging market infrastructure debt and Sino-Latin America trade flows, the deal confirms a pattern. Development finance institutions in the region are de facto underwriting Chinese industrial expansion, creating both credit exposure and strategic dependency that will shape returns and risk profiles across transport, energy, and logistics sectors for the next decade. Brazil is not alone in channeling state funds toward fleet modernization. The same week, Mexico announced a 6 billion peso program combining fiscal incentives and financing through Nacional Financiera to renew its aging commercial vehicle fleet, targeting domestically produced trucks and buses. The contrast is instructive. Mexico is attempting to ring-fence incentives for national production, while Brazil is writing checks directly to a Chinese state-owned enterprise. The divergence in industrial policy, protectionism versus pragmatism, will determine which economies capture value from infrastructure build-out and which merely finance it. Follow the money. Development Bank as Export Credit Agency. BINS is not traditionally an export credit agency for foreign manufacturers, but the CRRC loan effectively functions as one. The rationale is straightforward. Brazil needs rolling stock. CRRC offers competitive pricing and financing terms that private lenders will not match, and BINS has the balance sheet to intermediate. The result is a state-backed loan that de-risks Chinese equipment sales while leaving Brazilian taxpayers on the hook for credit performance. This mirrors a broader shift in development finance across Latin America, where national development banks are increasingly acting as counterparties to Asian exporters rather than catalysts for domestic industrial capacity. The model works in the short term. It delivers infrastructure faster and cheaper than alternatives, but it hollows out local manufacturing ecosystems and concentrates supply chain risk in a handful of Chinese SOEs. For credit investors, the key question is not whether BINS can service the loan, it can, but whether the strategic trade-off is sustainable as geopolitical tensions between Washington and Beijing intensify and Latin America governments face pressure to diversify supplier bases. The Argentina case offers a useful contrast in sovereign financing strategy. Buenos Aires is simultaneously tapping local hard dollar bond markets to raise funds for near-term debt obligations, a maneuver that keeps foreign currency onshore but at steep yields. Brazil, by comparison, is deploying concessional state capital to finance Chinese imports, effectively using public funds to subsidize foreign industrial policy. Both approaches reflect fiscal constraint, but the opportunity cost and long-term strategic implications differ materially. Rail as geopolitical infrastructure. Rail is not just transport, it is the physical manifestation of trade routes and strategic alignments. CRRC's penetration of Brazilian rail procurement is part of a decade-long effort by Beijing to secure infrastructure footholds across South America, particularly in sectors that connect commodity production to export terminals. Brazil is the world's largest exporter of soybeans and iron ore, and efficient rail logistics directly impact China's input costs for food and steel production. Financing CRRC equipment is, from Beijing's perspective, a form of vertical integration, securing the transport infrastructure that moves the commodities China imports. For institutional allocators, this creates a cascading set of exposures. Long positions in Brazilian logistics equities, infrastructure debt, or commodity-linked credit now carry implicit China risk, not just through end market demand, but through the supply chain integrity of the rail systems that move those goods. If geopolitical friction escalates and spare parts, maintenance, or software support for CRRC equipment becomes contested, the operational risk flows directly to bondholders and equity investors in Brazilian transport assets. The Mexico program, by contrast, attempts to insulate domestic manufacturers from this dynamic. The 6 billion peso package announced by President Claudia Sheinbaum and Economy Secretary Marcelo Ebrard explicitly prioritizes vehicles produced in Mexico, combining 2 billion pesos in accelerated depreciation allowances with 250 million pesos in Nacional Financiera credit that could lever up to 4 billion pesos in total financing. The stated goal is to reduce the average fleet age from 19 years while supporting 200,000 jobs in the domestic auto and truck manufacturing sectors. This is industrial policy with a nationalist edge, designed to prevent the kind of supplier concentration Brazil is embedding through the BNDES CRRC transaction. The capital allocation question the BNDES loan raises a fundamental question for development finance institutions and the sovereign bondholders who fund them. Is the purpose of state-backed credit to build domestic industrial capacity, or to procure infrastructure at the lowest nominal cost? Brazil has chosen the latter, and the trade-off is measurable. Every $1 billion directed to CRRC is capital not deployed to Brazilian rolling stock manufacturers, engineering firms, or supply chain participants. Over time, this erodes the industrial base and increases import dependency, which compounds fiscal pressure when currency depreciates. Brazilian reais buy fewer Chinese trains when the exchange rate moves. Mexico's approach, while more protectionist, acknowledges this dynamic. By conditioning fiscal incentives on domestic production, the government is attempting to capture both the infrastructure asset and the industrial value add. Whether this succeeds depends on execution. Fiscal incentives mean nothing if Mexican manufacturers cannot compete on price, delivery, or technology. But the strategic intent is clear: retain optionality and avoid supplier lock-in. For allocators, the implication is that Latin America infrastructure exposure increasingly splits along two vectors: deals that embed China dependency, Brazil rail, ports, power transmission, and deals that attempt to build domestic capacity, Mexico auto, Argentina lithium processing. The former offer faster deployment and lower upfront costs, but carry geopolitical and operational tail risk. The latter are slower and more expensive, but preserve strategic autonomy and domestic employment, critical variables in politically volatile markets. Project finance mechanics. The structure of the BNDES CRRC transaction was not disclosed in detail, but the mechanics of development bank rail financing are well established. BNDES likely extended a senior secured loan denominated in dollars or dollar-indexed reais, with repayment tied to offtake agreements from Brazilian rail operators or commodity shippers. CRRC benefits from guaranteed demand and payment assurance, while BNDES assumes credit risk on the underlying rail operator or sovereign guarantee. This is distinct from the Mexico program, which blends fiscal policy, accelerated depreciation, with contingent credit, Nacional Financiera guarantees, to incentivize private sector investment. The Mexican model shifts more risk to commercial lenders and fleet operators, while the Brazilian model concentrates risk on the sovereign balance sheet. Both are valid, but the risk-return profile and secondary market pricing of sovereign bonds from each country should reflect these structural differences. Brazil is effectively co-investing with CRRC, Mexico is creating conditions for private capital to deploy. Latin America's infrastructure funding gap. Both the BNDES loan and the Mexico fleet program exist because Latin America's infrastructure funding gap remains enormous. Estimates from multilateral development banks put the annual shortfall at over $150 billion across the region. Private capital is available, but not at the scale or tenor required for multi-decade transport projects, and not without guarantees. Development banks fill the gap, but their capacity is finite and their mandates are increasingly politicized. The result is a bifurcated market: large-scale, capital-intensive projects, rail, ports, power, increasingly financed by or in partnership with Chinese institutions, and smaller-scale, domestically focused investments, commercial vehicles, urban transit, supported by national development banks and multilateral lenders. Institutional allocators with Latin America exposure need to map which side of this divide their holdings fall on, because the risk and return drivers are fundamentally different. The Plaquemines view: BNDES lending $1.1 billion to CRRC is not an isolated transaction, it is a tell. It signals that Brazilian policymakers have concluded that domestic industrial capacity and rolling stock is either too expensive to build or politically untenable to protect, and that the near-term imperative of freight efficiency outweighs long-term strategic risk. This is a rational choice in a world where China offers unmatched scale and price, but it locks Brazil into a supplier relationship that will be difficult to unwind if geopolitical conditions shift. The second-order effect is on Western equipment manufacturers and their capital providers. If Brazil, the largest economy in South America, is directing development bank capital to Chinese SOEs, the competitive position of European and North American rolling stock suppliers in the region deteriorates further. This is not just a market share story, it is a signal that Latin America governments view Western OEMs as too expensive and insufficiently flexible on financing terms. Private equity-backed industrial roll-ups and public manufacturers with Latin America exposure need to adjust pricing and financing models or accept that the market is moving away. Mexico's program, by contrast, is an attempt to thread the needle, modernize infrastructure while retaining domestic industrial participation. Whether it succeeds depends on whether Mexican manufacturers can deliver competitive products and whether fiscal incentives are large enough to offset the cost differential with Chinese imports. The 6 billion peso figure is material but not transformative. For context, it represents roughly 0.02% of Mexico's GDP. The real test will be whether Nacional Financiera's credit lines are actually drawn and whether fleet operators see sufficient ROI to participate. The broader implication for institutional capital is that Latin America infrastructure is increasingly a geopolitical asset class, not just an emerging market infrastructure play. Portfolio construction needs to account for supplier concentration, currency mismatch, and sovereign risk in a way that traditional project finance models do not fully capture. The BIN-CRRC deal is a case study. Credit quality looks fine on paper, but the strategic exposure to a single foreign SOE and the operational dependency it creates are risks that will only fully materialize in stress scenarios, supply chain disruptions, geopolitical sanctions, or currency crises that make servicing dollar-denominated equipment loans untenable. The bottom line: BIN's financing CRRC to the tune of $1.1 billion is development finance as industrial policy arbitrage. Brazil gets infrastructure on the cheap, China secures market share and strategic positioning, and Western manufacturers are priced out. For allocators, the trade is clear: Latin America infrastructure exposure increasingly means China exposure, and the returns will be shaped as much by Beijing's Belt and Road economics as by Sao Paulo's fiscal discipline. Mexico's attempt to carve out a domestic industrial alternative is worth watching, but the fiscal commitment remains modest relative to the scale of the challenge. The capital is flowing south to north, and the equipment is flowing west from east. Track the money, and you see the future of Latin American trade routes taking shape one development bank loan at a time.